Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 31st, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice in your life now. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always go to our website, blog site, which I'm about to give you, and get our email address. You can email me your prayer request. If you want to talk to me on the phone, you can put your phone number there. I'll call you when I can. Put your prayer request in it, though. If you add your address, I'll print it out. I'll take it to the mission church. We'll anoint it with oil, pray over it, and we'll send it back to you. So, in fact, I've got a couple in my bag that I need to be mailing back out. You know, One, we prayed over a couple of weeks ago for a man's daughter and him because they were under spiritual attacks. And so, brother, I pray that you're out there, and you also asked me a question on whether or not that sometime Linda and I would tape our testimony together and do that because I guess you're a biker. So we will do that for you at some time, or we'll do it on the air. Right now today I've got some other things to talk about. Anyway, you can always find updates of the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And we are a national satellite radio program, simulcast live on the net internationally. So please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime is not free. I mean, why, it's free for you guys to get. You know, you turn on your cell phone or your smartphone or your computer, or you listen to it on satellite. Or you're listening to it on that FM station out there in Oregon. Yeah, it seems like it's free, but for us, it's not free. We have to pay the cost of electricity. We have to pay the cost of the internet. We have to pay costs for airtime in specific. We have to pay AVR. As much as they love us, Frank loves us over there, you know, we still have to pay for airtime because, you know, the people at the station, well, they gotta eat. So everybody has to. So pray about it. You know, as this ministry sells nothing at all whatsoever, we need your help. We need your donations. Okay, moving right along. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com. And remember, prophecyhour.com is like a hub for all of our things we do in the ministry. You can find out from prophecyhour.com. And again, once again, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide. Places like Norway, Sydney and Perth, Australia, Sofia City, Taiwan, Helsinki, Finland, Valencia, Spain, West Bengal, India, New Delhi, India, Juarez, Mexico, Chihuahua, Mexico, Mexico City, Mexico, and all kinds of places in Canada, as well as some other places out around South America and the rest of the world, of course. And let's not forget Israel, as well as many cities right here in the good old USA, like Virginia Beach, Florida, not Virginia Beach, VA, excuse me, I read that wrong, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Washington, D.C., Aurora, Illinois, San Francisco and Oakland, California, Newark, New Jersey, and many, many others. And, of course, in Wichita, Kansas, where our biggest group of listeners are at. And so, folks in Wichita, remember, we're over there doing work in your city, but actually it's not your city, it's the Father's city because he owns all things. But drop in and see what we do, or maybe consider dropping off a bag of potatoes or something once in a while to help feed some of these people over there, or some old clothing or some first aid items. Right now, we are hard-pressed for blankets because there is an overflow. Is closed tonight. After this, tomorrow, everybody's going to be out on the street. Messiah's Branch is going to be full of people tomorrow needing blankets, and I think I got two. So if anybody in Wichita can hear me tonight, pray about donating some blankets tomorrow. You can go to the secondhand store to get them. You can go over there to Walmart and pick them up for $5. So pray about it. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, and not will, my will, nor my guest will. And please, Father, give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth and the want to do the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, first up, all over the news today, and I hadn't planned on talking about this at all, the UN says that ISIS has made a nuclear weapon and threatens to blast it off in London, England. The Islamic State of Iraq and Syrian militants have reportedly developed a nuclear weapon from the radioactive material they seized from the Mosul University in Iraq. ISIS bragged about the nuclear device on social media as a British extremist fighter claimed it would wreak havoc in London when it explodes. According to the media reports, ISIS militants have stolen 40 kilograms of uranium in July and plan to use it to make a dirty bomb. The Mirror noted that the British bomb expert, I'm not going to give out his name, was identified among the militants who issued threats to the West online. In 2012, he left his home in Dudley and went to the Middle East. On his Twitter account, under his Muslim name, he announced that ISIS has a dirty bomb and revealed that the militants found radioactive material in the Iraqi university in Mosul. And there are other reports out there of them getting ready to make a bomb, even one from Harvard. So that's big news, and I pray for you people in London, but this could come to any city in the world. They don't discriminate. Wherever they can get in, that's what they'll do. Anyway, but some of the biggest news hit my eyes from several different places. The first place I saw this talked about was on Breaking News Israel, in which I planned to read to you. But before I get into that, I really do have a song that I would like to play tonight before we really get into this deeply. I almost skipped it, but I'd like to really hear this song. I think you would love it, too. So we'll be back after the song.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
In the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. Getting about the flood, in anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive as well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to buy. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will your trust in wealth you've lots to fear. For the distant thunder's a rumbling and the storm is almost here. You must put your trust in Jesus, for he's our ark today. When the storm of darkness comes, in him you will be saved. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling him of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
Yes, folks, that was in the days of Noah, and Yeshua said it would be like that just before his return. I played that song because I really believe that we're at that. By the way, that was done by Brother Ben. Anyway, my point is this, is when you see all these things that are on TV, you know, all there's just about any kind of sexual shenanigans going on TV. America is putting that out to the world. We are the producers of that and doing it freely. Okay, so anyway, so when I get done with this, it'll all come together. Anyway, I saw this an article about this first on Breaking News Israel, and I planned to read that one to you, and then there was one came out on WorldNet Daily about it, but then Michael Snyder did an article, and it was published in Charisma News, and I'm going to glean mostly from that, and you all know Michael Snyder. He's been on here a bunch of times, and he'll be back on here again. But anyway, this is talking about the Temple of Baal. He starts off and says, reproductions of the 50-foot arch that stood at the Temple of Baal in Palmyra, Syria, will be erected in New York City and London next month. It will be only the first of many. It turns out that there are plans to put arches in hundreds of cities all across the globe. Now, if you remember right, in Iraq, ISIS captured this ancient place, and they tried to blow it to the ground, blow it to smithereens. They didn't get it quite done. Iraq has now captured it back, and they are rebuilding the Temple of Baal in Iraq. Now, this has got to have some spiritual significance. You guys just have to put the pieces together. Anyway, the organization behind this is the Institute of Digital Archaeology, which is a joint venture between Harvard University and the University of Oxford and Dubai's Museum of the Future. The initial arches from the Temple of Baal that will be erected in New York and London are part of the United Nations UNESCO's World Heritage Week that goes on in April. They're intended as a gesture of defiance, but ultimately the plan is to share this cultural treasure, with as many cities around the planet as possible. If you go to Times Square in New York or Leicester Square in London late next month, you won't be able to miss these big arches. According to the New York Post, they will be 48 feet high and 23 feet wide. It is life size. It will be only one of two constructed in China. Figures China's got something to do with it. For exhibition, likely in Times Square in London's Leicester Square, as part of the World Heritage Week event in April 2016. Now, I suppose it is appropriate that these giant arches are going to be made in China, because it seems like almost everything is being made over there these days. But these are not the only two arches that are going to be made. The same article from the New York Post says the Institute for Digital Archaeology ultimately hopes to put 1,000 of these arches in cities all over the globe. The institution, the Institute plans to construct approximately 1,000 such versions of the arch in cities throughout the world. Now, right now you're wondering, okay, so what? It's an ancient temple. It's like a museum piece. But, you know, spiritual thing, you know, things that are done on earth here are, you know, this isn't just that. When I get to this part, about what Baal worship is all about. And then, you know what? I bet you most of my listening audience out there has no concept in the world what Baal worship is, other than the fact that it's, you know, Baal worship, it's paganism. Well, there's a lot more to it than that. Anyway, if you're anything like me, this is an extremely disturbing development. Baal worship is definitely not something we should be celebrating as a society. Now, most of that was Michael Snyder's words. And he goes on and he says, there are very good reasons why the God of the Bible found it so incredibly repulsive. The following description, Michael says, it comes down from Scott Brown. And this is about what Baal worship is. Okay, let's see. Do we have time? Oh, yeah, let's see. 5, 9, 2. Okay, we've got enough time. Okay, we know that there were usually lots of people gathered on a high... This is Baal worship. We know that there were usually lots of people gathered often on a high hill, like a theater stadium, to observe public sex, just like we see in the movies and television and on the Internet. That, and if you want to see that, that's Numbers 22:41 and 1 Kings 12:25-33. But anyway, so here's the stage. Here's people are looking down. They're watching something going on, and there's all these people naked and having sex. Anyway, we think that our watching these things is different than the idolatry of old, but this is just not so. The whole community came out for all the best pagan ideas for success in crops and fertility that were promoted, just like a business seminar that promotes unbiblical ideas that justify the worldliness of its origin. The wicked personalities, like promoters and performers, were respected and given the platform, like rock stars and Hollywood people. Some of them were great dancers, what, like Britney Spears and Madonna, while others were great musicians, like who? Mick Jagger, Paul McCartney? Look at 1 Kings 15:12-14. Anyway, I'll put the scriptural references for this in with at the podcast page. Anyway, in our day, people who go to churches celebrate celebrities when they should be doing the opposite. Psalm 101:3 says, I will walk in my house, and I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. People danced around the Asherah pole, which was nothing more than a phallic symbol. It is quite possible that these poles function something like the poles that are the poles in what are called gentlemen's clubs. In other words, go-go places. The poles, you know, pole dancers. This is, they're dancing, they're swinging around phallic symbols. The people also acted lascivious, bawdy scenes for the enjoyment who all that came. They had all kinds of different sexual experiences on display, including men with women, men with men, and all the combinations that are popular today in what? Sitcoms, movies, and news reports. On top of that, they invited the crowd to participate. In addition to everything that you have just read, child sacrifice was a central feature of Baal worship. That's what it says in Jeremiah 19:4-6. It says, because they have forsaken me and have profaned the place by making offerings to other gods, from neither they nor their fathers or the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocent, and have built high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or decree, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, surely the days are coming, saith the Lord, when this place shall no more be called Topheth or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. We would like to think that we were so much more advanced than people back then, but are we really? Just like ancient Baal worshippers, we are a society that is addicted to watching other people have sex. In fact, it has been estimated that 68% of all Christian men watch pornography on a regular basis. And just like ancient Baal worshippers, we are a society that is engaged in child sacrifice. That's right, child sacrifice, and I've said it so many times on this program. Some call it abortion, but the motives are the same. If an unplanned or unwanted pregnancy comes along, we'd have a mechanism for getting rid of it, just like they did. Remember, we kill children in their wombs. They bring them out, lay them on a table, and let them die on the table. I mean, you know, it's horrific. Every one of those is a sacrifice to Satan, who is the god of this earth that's out there running around. Since Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973, we've slaughtered more than 58 million of our own children. I would venture to say that ancient Baal worshippers never quite got that much blood on their own hands. Who knows? I don't know. But it's way too much, and the blood of the innocent cries out from the ground. America, if you're, whether you're Mystery Babylon or not, you will pay. On one level, I find it quite ironic that the reproduction of part of the Temple of Baal is going up in Times Square. David Wilkerson once preached a message titled, Tearing Down the Altars of Baal at the Times Square Church. Now a monument to Baal is actually being erected in Times Square. Well, and part of this, I want to make sure I give him the credit. Michael Skyler goes on to say, to me, this is one of the most important news stories of 2016. And you can find Michael Snyder at the Economic Collapse Blog. And he's been on this program many, many times. Go back and listen to him from his archives. And so, you know, if you're not yet quite seeing the connection, you need to look around in the United States. You need to lift the veil from your eyes that we have, whether we know it or not, we've taken on a form of Baal worship. We should know, we would know this if our preachers only had the voice to speak out. But what is it with our preachers? Are they being so politically correct that they can't speak against these things? Are they afraid of something else? Are they afraid if they start speaking out against the homosexual marriages, the same-sex marriages, and all these terrible things on TV that they'll be called down and their 501(c) will come into check? Is that what the problem is? Well, folks, we'll explore this and much more, but make sure that you stay tuned and listen in because I have more for you. And remember, go check us out at prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com, you can find a email address over there. You can find telephone numbers. You can find how to donate, all kinds of things over there. Links to the other things that we do, all of it is over there at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And for the record, folks, I am looking for some people. If you know how to do HTML, you could use your help. And so pray about it. But anyway, stay tuned because I'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
Folks, we're back, and this is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Oh, yes, I know that some of you say, well, wait a minute, this is a time for Mission Watch. Well, this is a special Prophecy Hour program, and so tonight, anyway, let's go on here. You know what? I'm going to put off, I'm not going to talk about the Wichita Mission Church right at this moment, because it is just me talking tonight. And so I will come to that in a little bit. But first, we're going to have a song so we get back into the mood of things. Here we go.
Sandals off as he was
like Abednego into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, must have had their sandals off, and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down, and they were standing, standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield, but I, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, 'cause he was standing, standing.
Standing on holy ground, there's the thing. How, if you're not standing on holy ground, you need to be. The point of what is holy ground? Holy ground is when you are at a place of repentance and you're walking in the Spirit. You're not walking according to the ways of the world, but you're walking in the Spirit. And it is so important that we start standing on holy ground, placing our feet on it, humbling ourselves before the Lord of hosts, to the God of all gods, to the King of the universe. We need to honor him in that such a manner. He sent his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, so that we might be saved and so that we wouldn't be into this trap. But let's go back to this. So we're talking about preachers first, and then after preachers, we'll talk about some other things. But while I said they worry about their 501(c)s, yes, if they get too outspoken, and we're not even talking about political things, we're talking about, we've had preachers in this country arrested for speaking out against Islam and trying to make conversions, and abortion, talking about abortions when there's protests, there's in front of clinics and different things. We've had preachers arrested right off the sidewalk and their 501(c)s put in jeopardy. And let me go on, and then I will talk about more about the 501(c). But the point is that while we have some brave preachers out there willing to risk everything, you know, we have a church that is got under this corporate rule that shouldn't be there. I mean, come on. Even the IRS says straight out, it says a church does not have to file for a 501(c) to be tax exempt. Churches are automatically already tax exempt. Therefore, you don't have to file a 501(c). But what do? They turn around and get it because it makes it so much easier for them. Most churches in America have organized as a 501(c) tax-exempt religious organization. This is a fairly recent trend, and it's only been going on for about 50 years. Churches were only added to the section 501(c)(3) of the tax code in 1954. We can thank Senator Lyndon B. Johnson for that. He was no ally as the church. As part of his political agenda, Johnson made it in his mind to silence the church and eliminate the significant influence the church had always had on shaping public policy. And that's what we're talking about, public policy. We're talking about policy that turned into law that now we have gay marriage. Although Johnson preferred it as a favor to churches, the phaser came with strings attached. One need only to look at and see the devastating effects of a 501(c) acceptance has had to the church, and the consequent restrictions placed upon any 501(c) church are prohibited from addressing in any tangible way the vital issues of the day. For a 501(c) church to openly speak out or organize in opposition to anything that the government declares legal, get that? Anything the government declares illegal, like, or even if it is immoral, abortion, homosexuality, so on and so forth, it will jeopardize its tax-exempt status. This is a fact. Whether you like it or not, If you are a 501c church, the head of your church is the state. And when you donate and support that, you're supporting the state and you're saying you'll bow to the laws of the country, and this country is under the influence of Baal. Now let's go on from that. So you don't have to have that. Church can throw that down and walk away. But, you know, they're so far into it, they don't think they can function out of it, and so they have lost their way. They don't speak out of the things that that matter. They don't talk about the things that matter. This is part of, not the whole reason why the church is silent, but this is just part of it. Another part of the church is silent with the preachers is because they're afraid of offending people in their congregation because they have too many people that are into some of these things themselves, or else that have friends that are in it, or have gay and lesbian friends, and so on and so forth. And so if they preach against sin, then they're going to offend this person, the person will go down the street and be able to hear about it, hear about what they want to hear about without happening to hear that their poor friends may burn in hell. Well, you know, that's the facts, and that's where America has got. Mystery Babylon? I don't know. I can't know. The only person who knows that's the Father. Many people think so. It looks like it could be, but it's still a form of Babylon. When you have worship, you have Baal worship right out there. And it, what do you see on the internet? And it is put forth by America, American companies. You can get animal people doing things with animals with 20,000. You can get all that garbage there. It's on your TV. If you've got satellite TV, you can subscribe to stations that do the same thing. So you don't even have to have internet to do it. And it's acceptable. Why is it acceptable? Because the church didn't do their job and speak up. Now let me go with this. Let's take it off the pastor's head for a minute. You are part of the body of Messiah. The body of Messiah is called you are to warn. Oh, I'm not supposed to judge anybody. Well, let's go with this. Have you ever heard people talk about, well, I'm a watchman? Well, let's read what it says about the watchman. This is in Ezekiel 33. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set them up for a watchman, when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows a trumpet and warns the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and takes not the warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. So, okay, let's break that down. If it says, if the watchman warns somebody, that's you. You're a watchman. You know what's coming. So if you don't, if you warn your neighbor and say, hey, let's say a flood's coming down the street. A flood's coming down the street. Run, run. Well, if they don't run and they drown, well, then his own blood, his life is on him. But what's it say? Let's go on. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and take not the warning, if the sword come, or I said blood, takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not the warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh the warning shall deliver his soul. But if watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away at his iniquity, his sin. But his blood I will require from who? The watchman's hand. You are the watchman. If you know these things to be true and you don't warn, then you're guilty of it. If you've got a friend that's a gay person, it's in a gay marriage or any of that garbage, if you don't warn him, guess what? It's on your head. You're required by the Bible to do that. That's not saying, well, I don't judge people. Well, there's a difference between being judgmental and warning somebody of something that is blatantly evil and wrong. Where have you gotten to, body of Messiah? Well, I'll tell you where you're at. Most of you are pacifistically sitting in these churches where the preacher doesn't stand up there and preach about sin. And if you are in a church where the preacher preaches about sin, then amen, stay there. But if you're not hearing about sin, you need to get out of there. Absolutely. And you know what? The Father also will judge you where you put your money. Anyway, let's go on with this. Number verse 7 says, O thou son of man, I set thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them for me. Father says, warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. By the way, have you ever looked up the word iniquity instead of all the garbage that they say it is? If you look it up, it says being without law. And if you look up the law, it's the word law is Torah. So it means iniquity means being without Torah. But his blood I require at thine hand or your hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way and turn from it, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Thou hast delivered your soul. This ministry has always been about trying to bring you the truth. And so that you might repent and live, and so that you might save others and add to his kingdom. That's what this ministry is all about. But before I go on into this ministry, I need to tell you something else. You know what? I'm not saying, you know why I said that? Yeah, if I vote, it looks like I'll probably vote for Trump. Okay. Well, let's go with this. This is something I heard yesterday. You know, it would take somebody, if it isn't Trump, somebody like Trump. I mean, come on. If you're not going to vote for Trump, who are you going to vote for? You know, that's what I want to know. But right now, Trump said in Wisconsin, now this is a fact. I listened to the video. Trump said in Wisconsin when he was talking the other day, he says, I understand the problem of the church and not being able to speak up because of that 501(c) thing, because the IRS will come after their tax-exempt status. He said, this should not be. He said, it was like hearing myself talk to a point. He said that the 501(c) has stifled the voice of the Christians in this country, which is supposed to be, he said, he's like me, he said, he thinks like, I think it's like 82% of the country is supposed to be Christian, but it can't speak out because of fear of losing their 501(c). He says, if I become president, I will take that away. I will fix that. Look, folks, you look around and see all, I'm not saying that you don't have to vote for Trump, but he has raised so much. If you go out there and look and see all the people that are against him, most of those people are the people who are globalists, including Ted Cruz and his wife, who was or is in the CFR. They are screaming because they're going to lose their power. This NAFTA thing that came in, the reason we don't have no jobs right now, this is because of NAFTA. Back in 1992, this was Bill Clinton's thing that he brought on. All this free trade, all the companies leaving the country, go setting up house in Mexico and other places. That's because of the Clintons. Wake up. Do your research. If you're not under the generation to know, do your research. Because you are of a generation that has a computer, which at your fingertips, you can type in anything you want to know, and you can find out just about anything you want to know from the computer. So you have no excuse to be dumb. None of you have any excuse to be stupid. You have no excuse. Anyway, so check it out. So my point is back to that. And so these globalists are the ones that are all screaming against Trump. They see these things that they've laid for all of the so many, many, many years. And what has happened to it? It's being taken away from them. It will be if Trump becomes president. And I'm not saying he's the savior, but is there any other heroes that have taken to the field? Because the man is truly being heroic and standing up like he is. Because, you know, I said it on radio last week, and I'll say it again. I fear for his life, you know. I just fear for his life, because if they can't beat him at the voting booth, what are they going to do? There is so much of the world that he goes against. And if you really take a look and see at it, he is the New World Order's number one enemy. And that makes him an enemy of Satan. And so fighting hard. I don't know if this country deserves another break. And it could be like this, too, though. Then, on the other hand, we could elect Trump, and America could be Mystery Babylon, and the things that he does could make the world so mad that they want to take us out. So there's that also. So there's always a good side and a bad side to most anything, at least except Yeshua. There's one good side to Yeshua. He's going to come back and he's going to wipe out the evil. Amen. So you need to pray about these things. You know, you really do. You really, really do. Anyway, so I am going to ask you to pray about, you know, the Wichita Mission Church. You know, you think that over there, well, you know, why do so many people come to the Mission Church for help? Well, because we give them relationships and we give them love and we give them miracle prayers, and we're in the process of, let me tell you right now what I'm doing outside. We've got a really nice awning that has been built, and we're fixing to pipe music in outside. You know, we're talking about Christian music, keeping it down low so when they sit outside that they can hear things. We're planning on doing a Passover barbecue there just before Passover, and also in honor of one of the drunken guys that helped build the building. But as in with all things, you know, I don't do fundraisers. I don't know how to do fundraisers. That ability is something that I just don't know how to do. If you're in Wichita and you know how to do a fundraiser, come and tell me about it. Or if you'd like to get involved with this picnic thing that I want to do for the homeless and poor outside, in memory of this man that helped build the place, and also for Passover, just before Passover, then come down there and talk to me about it. We really do need your help. To get that accomplished, just the barbecue itself will cost us, with food and everything, probably $600 or $700 easy. You know, we plan on getting Christian musicians to come and play some music. So if you're Christian music, you're a Christian musician and you live in Wichita area, you would like to get involved with this, let me know. But also, we need work done on the awning, the piping in and the music. So let's just say for the awning and all that, I need to raise $1,000 to $1,500. Right now, we're still in a funny part of the year. We haven't yet recovered from the winter months, and I know my wife's desperately. She's the one that it hits everything with her, because she's the one that pays the bills. She does it the best, so she takes care of the bills. I give her the money. The father gives her the money, but you know what I mean. She takes control of the money, and she pays the bills with it. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard. And I know it's hard for you folks out there, too, because, you know, most of the people that listen to this radio aren't rich people. You know, I think the rich people are listening to Joel Osteen and people like that, because it didn't seem like there's any rich people listening to this radio station. If there is, then brother, send us a donation, or sister. But the point is that I know that people are having such hard times. We've got over 25% of the workforce that should be in the workforce is not in the workforce. We have people working part-time that used to be full-time. We have people that were making $20 an hour making $8. You know, so it's hard. It's hard, I know, to give money, and especially when you get nothing in return. But you do get something in return. You'll get something in return when Yeshua comes back. And that's the kind of return that we look for. We need to store up treasure in heaven, not store up treasure on earth. But I realize that you need to get by. You have families and things and so on and so forth. But pray about the Wichita Mission Church. You know, people always got this kind of scenario that says, well, you know, if everybody that heard my voice gave me a dollar, then it would, and boy, yeah, that would be right, because there's thousands and thousands of people that listen to this radio program. I don't know how many. And if everybody gave me a dollar, yeah, that it would sure help right now. But I can't count on that, because you know what? Out of 1,000 people, probably maybe one donates, you know. But that's the way it is. People want something for their money. They want something tangible. So, you know, pray about it. I do pray. You know, there's things called a sacrifice. Now, I know that a sacrificial offering. And, you know, the Father let's take that out. I'm not going to sound like these preachers and telling you that you're going to get a reward from God and all that. I am going to ask that you make a sacrificial gift. If there's something that you can give up to make a gift to the Wichita Mission Church, to give a gift to us, then pray about it. I'm not going to overly beg you for money, and I'm not going to tell you how great a reward that you're going to get. What I am going to tell you is that, you know, you should store up your treasure for heaven. You know, that's what you should do. We can use a donation no matter what size help. I pray some of you could give, maybe 10 or 20 of you guys could give $100 a piece. That would help greatly. Or maybe somebody's got $1,000 they can donate. But just pray about it. We really do need your help. We want to get out of the slump so we can go into the summer without having all the bills behind. We'd like to get ahead. You know, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donation, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? I didn't hear you. That come from where? Your heart. You know, if you don't want to help with the poor, then consider a donation for radio airtime. You're sitting here listening to radio. You must be getting something out of it. Pray about a donation for radio airtime. If it's for radio, if you're mailing a check in, here's the deal. Tell us what it's for. You know, you can say this is just for general purposes, amen. But if you decided to donate towards the Passover picnic, then amen. Just write Passover picnic on it. Awning, Passover picnic. If it's for airtime, write airtime. Anything else, you can just leave it blank. Or you can tell us what you want us to use it with. Or you can donate online. If you donate online, amen, that's a great big thing. You can find all that information. you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. I'm sorry I got sidetracked there. But you can donate online or by mail, check, or money order. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. Pray about it, folks. We really do need your help. And if you're in Wichita, you know, drop some bags of groceries by or some clothing or some over-the-counter medications. And don't forget, we need blankets in Wichita. If you live in Wichita, bring us some blankets. Tomorrow, people are going to be driving us crazy for blankets. We have only got a couple at the most, I think. So pray about it. Anyway, folks, really all total though, we're trying to raise about $5,000. So pray about it. Maybe you can help with it, maybe you can't. We also need large print King James Version Bibles. Large print King James Version Bibles. Large print King James Version Bibles. Okay, well, we must remember there really is only one God. And who is he? He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. People think that people went through that thing called Easter and had Easter sunrise service. Easter sunrise service is to the sun god. You know, Yeshua didn't raise as the sun came up. He rose as the sun went down. If you read your Bible in Matthew and read it without somebody's interpretation, it'll tell you that. Because when the woman got to the tomb at the close of the Sabbath, what happened? Oh, there was a loud noise. The angel said, "That whom you seek is not here. He is already risen. He's already gone. He's already risen." So, and that was just before dark on the seventh day of the week. So, and then on the first day of the week, he ascended to the Father and came right back down. And you know the rest of the story. You can, if you don't, you need to read the book of Acts real bad. Okay, Lord our God, Father, King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 60. 6851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.